revolution. Well, you know. Welcome to the show. Holy cow. We got a new microphone, new location at the Specialty Auto Studios, you know. We'll plug that shamelessly. But you are listening to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, your host. And I'm so glad to be here this week and every week. And if you want to listen, you know, to these shows again, civicmedia.us is the place to find it. All the episodes are there, including this one. And I'm super stoked that this dude is here. We got Dan Schaefer, my friend and yours, member of the Civic Media crew here and the founder of, everybody knows, the Recombobulation Area. If you don't know it, well, you freaking should. That's what. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing well, Mark. Always wonderful to join you here on the Rational Revolution. You are one of my favorite people to talk politics with.
Oh, paleo.
This came together last minute for us to record this week, but I'm excited that we have this opportunity. There's a lot to talk about in these discombobulating times. We got to take some time to recombobulate.
Well, I gotta say, this is the biggest Wisconsin news. Started with a profanity-laced clip from The Wolf of Wall Street and a tweet that said, "Legends don't chase, they attract."
Oh, so we're just going to talk about Giannis and the Bucks today. Let's do it.
We got to start there, because that was big. I thought, you know, could Milwaukee love this guy even more? Ah, and then he goes and does that.
Pretty awesome. And Giannis, sir, all of the trade speculation for the whole, what is it, the last 9 months of ESPN and Shams Charania and all this circus going on. And he once again survives the trade deadline and continues to be a member of my beloved Milwaukee Bucks.
Well,
you love to see it, folks. You love to see it.
And he didn't suit up that night before, whatever, and all that. So it's like he's gone. You know, people were tweeting out like, thank you and appreciation and all that stuff. And then did he choose to stay, or did the Bucks, were they unable to get like a high enough price tag for him?
I mean, I'm not so, you know, dialed in to say that it's obvious that one way or the other, right? I'm not a sports reporter, so I don't really know these things, but I think the way that the reporting kind of unfolded in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline, I think there were discussions. I just think that there was nobody that was able to have any kind of realistic offer to get the Bucks interested in a potential trade package. I think if they're talking about like whether this is a realistic option, I think they're entertaining it, but I also think like the Bucks are also in the position where just like, you got to give us the world. You got to give us every young player draft pick that you have, where, you know, this is still one of the best two or three players in the NBA. So, you know, it's going to take a mother load to pry him away. And I think it's always been more likely that if he does get traded, that it would happen in the offseason, that it would not happen, you know, now before before the trade deadline. I think it is more likely that he would get traded in the offseason, because then you'll have a bunch of teams who are, you know, competing in the playoffs. Let's say somebody who thinks they can win the title comes up short and is like, all right, we got to make a move. We got to go get Giannis. We're one player away. We can get over the hump with a trade like this. And, you know, who knows if a team like the Houston Rockets or the San Antonio Spurs or, you know, one of these teams that's kind of on the rise might want to make an all-in move for Giannis in the offseason. But I think they also, you know, maybe want to see what a guy like Victor Wembanyama can do in the postseason in his first postseason before they go making any big changes. So I think it's more likely that you'll see the trade speculation dial back up in the offseason. But at the same time, I think, you know, the fact that we've got past the trade deadline, it also gives the Bucks more options in the offseason too, because, you know, we've seen the Bucks trade some future draft picks for some big names. Obviously, the Jrue Holiday trade worked out great and led to the Bucks winning a championship.
Right. Yeah.
The Damian Lillard trade didn't work out quite so great. Did not lead to any postseason.
But
they tried. And so once they get to the postseason this year, that will unlock two future first round picks that the Bucks could conceivably trade for another, you know, secondary star, whatever it might be. They will have a draft pick this year, which is likely to be, right, you know, in the first half of the first round, based on kind of where their record is as it stands. You know, even if they sneak into the playoffs or anything like that, which still to me looks like a long shot, yeah, they'll have probably a top 15 pick in the draft this year. So you get those future picks, you get a young player, you develop some of these young guys that have emerged over the course of the season, and maybe move on with a different coach for next year. Who knows?
Oh yeah.
But I am more optimistic about the Bucks, you know, kind of rebuilding a team around Giannis than maybe most people in the kind of Milwaukee Bucks fandom NBA universe. And I just, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks winning the 2021 championship is the greatest moment of my life as a sports fan. So I just want them to, I want Giannis to have an opportunity to win another one. And, you know,
do you think they can? Do you think they will? What's next for the Bucks?
I think it's most likely that they won't. I mean, it's tough to rebuild on kind of a second timeline here, but I wouldn't rule it out either. Like I think, you know, the comparison that I've made is that, you know, Dirk Nowitzki made the finals in 2006, won the MVP in 2007, but then he didn't win a playoff. He only won one playoff series in the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, right.
Giannis wins, but then he goes, you know, then they build a new team around him, and then they win that remarkable 2011 finals when they beat the Heat and LeBron and all of that. So, you know, maybe it was good that Dirk stayed and rebuilt then, and maybe it's good that Giannis, even after some tough seasons in the past few years here, can rebuild for another run, maybe next year, maybe the year after. Who knows?
Yeah, it's
optimistic.
Be cool. It'll be fun to watch for sure. You know, and sticking with the sports thing, are you watching the Olympics?
I have been watching the Olympics. I like the Winter Olympics a lot. I actually got in a debate with a bunch of my friends who I'm in a group chat with. I was just like, hey, you guys watching the Olympics? You know, the Winter Games are fun. Obviously not as good as the Summer Games, but I still enjoy the Winter Games. Then all of my friends who are getting back to me, they're just like, what are you talking about? The Winter Games are better. And I didn't know that, like, there was anybody in the universe who thought that the Winter Games were better than the Summer Games. I enjoy them both, but I don't know. I was surprised that there are so many people who prefer the Winter Games to the Summer Games. Where do you stand on this one?
I love that because I love, like, speed sports. And so, sure, like, you know, there's the, you know, bobsled and the luge and skeleton and short track speed skating. I love that stuff. So I think I do prefer the Winter Olympics, I think.
Do you really?
Well, but then I think baseball is going to be this, or flag football. There's some really, really cool new events coming for the Winter Olympics. I like the team sports in the summer, like soccer and those types of things. But
I mean, we just talked about the Bucks. I'm a huge basketball fan. So any of the international basketball, I'm absolutely locked in on for the Summer Games for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, and you know what's cool about to bring it into politics, that Republicans are so patriotic, they are now rooting against United States athletes.
Right.
Which is, that's cool, you know?
Yeah, and they're suddenly against certain people exercising their First Amendment rights when they don't agree with them. It's almost like they, you know, approach this in a selective way. Huh.
Which is wild. You know, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that too, because I'm trying to get an answer to a question that I don't even know how to ask.
Okay.
You know, from like the patriotic stuff that they love America so much they're rooting against American athletes. And then, you know, you look at like Bad Bunny and his Super Bowl performance, which I freaking loved. I thought it was cool. But
it was great.
You know, yeah. And then the criticism that they put out is like, you know, well, it's not about, you know, his racism thing. It's not about that. It's just he doesn't have a lot of talent. You know, and so like you they frame these in these such BS ways.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, just say the thing, you know, like it's not a double standard. Just say the thing, say what you're thinking, because it's not that.
Right. Right. It's, you know, it just, it makes me think of like those, you know, kind of the Iraq War era Republican, just like the, oh, if you don't love it or leave it, we're going to, we're going to eat freedom fries, not French fries. If you say anything, you're not supporting the president, like that type of pervasive, you know, attitude that was around then. And then with, you know, kind of the Sarah Palin, you know, real America type of stuff, that there is just this, Republican approach to, well, we love free speech and we love this country and we love all of these things. And then when somebody exercises their free speech in a way that they might not agree with, this person's not American. They don't love our country there. But, you know, you didn't hear that throughout, like when Biden was president and Republicans would criticize Biden, you didn't hear people saying, oh, love it or leave it. You got to support the president. You got to love this country no matter what. Like, it's just, you know, a pretty ridiculous double standard. And it's just like the hypocrisy runs so deep with all
that. Yeah. Ron Johnson was in the news where he was criticizing Keith Ellefson, who's the AG of Minnesota yesterday. And he was
that was quite the exchange.
Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing. Like, I wish I was in that room, because Ron Johnson saying, can you believe you were training people how to be activists? You were training. It's like, Ron, I have been in the same freaking room as you in the Brown County Republican Party district headquarters, where we were training people to do the same freaking thing. Don't act like you're all offended and, you know, gasp and clutching pearls. You did it too, bud. Like, what is that? You believe that? Yeah, well, I believe
and
that.
And Ellison
coming
back too. It's just like, yeah, this is your, it's okay for people to exercise their First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you have that personal history with Ron Johnson.
Oh, it's wild,
dude. In certain ways. Yeah.
Yes. And like, it's such a hypocritical BS thing that when I saw that video, and then when Ron got his, you know, you disgust me. That was a side of Ron Johnson that I think more people need to see. I've seen it.
Hey, yeah. I was going to say, have you seen that side before?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's fun.
Just like the red-faced, angry hockey dad side of Ron Johnson. Yeah.
Yes, right. And I always say that that Ron, he's called me a lot of things. I think he said that I was a weasel, a piece of crap, you know. But one thing he's never said about me is he's never said I was a liar. So, you know, he can, so whatever, if that's a little bit of integrity, because he knows that everything I said about him was true. Good times. We're going to talk on the other end of the break. You've covered Wisconsin politics for a while, and I want to know what you think. Where does Wisconsin actually stand right now? We're going to look into the crystal ball. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the spring election, all sorts of fun stuff. Evers in his final State of the State address. Oh, my goodness.
Lots going on.
So much going on in Wisconsin politics. And you're going to hear it with our friend Dan Schaefer here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We will be right back.